Blog Talk Radio.
About 30 seconds ago, I literally tried to connect Zoom to do my radio show. It's been a while. This means that I probably need to get back to radio sooner than later. Hello, everybody. This is Sin's Chat Corner. I can't remember what episode we're on now. Super excited. I'm always excited when I do interviews with local people and moreover when they are local musicians. I have a heart for local actors, local musicians, local artists in general. And so I'm super excited to get to today's interview and I appreciate his patience because it's taken a bit to get him on the show. Before I start with Ben, I just want to quickly go through a couple quick things to give everyone a status update. If you are waiting on film reviews from me, you're probably going to have to wait a little bit longer. I know that sucks, right? But I'm just really far behind. So May, I'll be getting caught up with things such as film reviews. The Mother's Day gift guide for the Art is Alive magazine will be coming out sometime this weekend. I'll make sure to publish that on social media as well as on my magazine platform. Relative to film distribution, aka sales, marketing, and otherwise, I am doing another workshop this coming Sunday. If anyone is interested, go to the Art is Alive Film Festival page or the Film Freeway page, and you can check out and see how to register for the workshop this weekend. To those of you that haven't heard, yes, I'm covering Tribeca for the third year in a row. I'm super excited about it. So anyone that's in New York or surrounding area that is screening at Tribeca, please reach out to me directly if you want an interview or a review or both, or if you just want to hang out. My direct email is cin4251@gmail.com. And then relative to my programs, let's see, the medical misdiagnosis series is penciled for next month to come out, as well as Sunny and Trixie, at least one episode. But stay tuned on that, because as we all know, I'm at the mercy of an editor, and I'm at the mercy of a composer, and we all know that I have zero patience. So I'll probably have to kick it into high gear. I think that's everything. If it's not, I mean, you're all my friends on social media, right? Just kidding. Just go check all my pages. I'm sure I have updates of something new and interesting, but you don't want to listen about me. You want to hear about Ben. So without further ado, let's get him on the line and start talking. Ben?
Hi, Cindy.
Okay, here we are. We're both connected. All my announcements are finished. Staying patient. It took us a second there, but here we are. And thank you for waiting to get on the show. I know it's been kind of a pain in the butt lately, so I appreciate your patience. I have a lot to ask you. So I want to start off with talking about what I think is super important to people that listen to my show who may not be musicians or artisans. Please tell me and the listening audience what you feel a proper definition of music is.
The definition of music
is,
well, I think of it as the combination of rhythms and melodies or one or the other. But what it means to me on a deeper level is I feel that it's a high form of expression and even channeling. I've never understood exactly what it is. It's always been just a feeling of great joy, and I feel that it's the right thing to do, to play music, and it captivates people. It captivates me when I'm at a concert, and oftentimes I find myself extremely moved. And so perhaps it defies definition, or I'm not good enough with words to really state the definition. But those are my thoughts on music.
I always like to pick the brain of an artisan. And of course, musicians are great artisans, and I always find it interesting to hear what their interpretation is as far as in their own particular field. I know we both live in Wisconsin, so important question to ask. We've all kind of lived through this hellish nightmare this last 3 years. Some creatives I talked to have been ultra inspired and ultra excited and did tons of things during this pandemic time. As far as for you, did it help your music at all and creation, et cetera? Because I know on the business side it was rough. But in terms of actually creating more or doing more, where did you stand on all of that during that time?
That's a very great question. So my answer I'm about to give is not in any way, taking away from that, because obviously the people who run this world decided that they were going to change things for us,
mm-hmm.
but I did not allow them to do that to me. Literally nothing changed for me, creatively or otherwise, in my life. I didn't follow any of the mandates. I continued to congregate in public, maskless, through spring of 2020. I didn't know if we'd be arrested or not. We weren't. I'm happy, very delighted that we weren't, but that was a chance I was willing to take. So creatively, it's just the same. I will say, thirds caused me to not play concerts for 3 months. There was a period of mid-March to mid-June where the people who run this world were able to prevent me from playing shows. And for that, I'll forever harbor resentment toward them. But other than that, mm-hmm. I didn't change a darn thing. If anything, actually, you know, I used to view shopping cart handles with trepidation at what germs and stuff might linger on them. But as an act of rebellion, when I saw everybody bringing out the wet wipes, I decided, you know what, I'm just going to touch as many of these darn shopping cart handles as I can. And so I actually went in the opposite direction. I disbanded with some of the some of those safety measures.
Sure, I bet. Well, and I want to touch on this, too, because I know that this question is asked of me as well. So I'm curious to get your take on this. I work in entertainment, and, of course, entertainment tends to be very liberal-minded, very left-swinging, et cetera. And so oftentimes people will say to me, you know, you could probably hurt your career, per se, with having certain beliefs or being so opinionated about topics just like the ones you were talking about. So was there ever a concern on your part that your personal convictions were going to hurt you or may hurt you professionally at all?
I think from the time we open our eyes as an infant, we are faced with two choices in life. I mean, there are many other dynamics going on at once, but one dynamic that's ever present that we are conscious of is the fight between our own personal dignity and the willpower of society. And of course, then a separate question comes in: what molded society's willpower? Did they open books and read them and come to their own conclusions? Or was the television and the media kind of a battering tool that molded society into how whoever runs those things wanted society to be? But we are all, what's that?
No, go ahead. I'm listening.
Yeah. So we're all faced with that, those two conflicting choices of self-expression or conformity. And, throughout my life, you know, I can't beat my chest and say that I've been completely expressive. I have not. I'm getting more so as I get older, but I'm not there yet. But it's like the fewer years that I have left in my life, the shorter amount of time that they could take off my life by killing me, imprisoning me, or taking away my music career. You know, I get a little bit more expressive each year. And so those are my considerations. Yeah, I definitely, it's always been a concern of mine. Anytime, like 20s, playing in bands, just being out in bars and stuff, and then social media, during that time, social media came about. And so that added a new element into the equation. And now I've been doing a one-man show because I'm able to do a lot more shows per year by doing a one-man show than by playing in bands. So So it's, yep, that is, yeah, it's a constant consideration, but yeah, human dignity requires at least, like, you got to draw a line in the sand where there's a certain amount of dignity you refuse to lose. Like, it's okay to shut your mouth, but it's not okay to pay lip service to things you don't believe in. That's where I draw the line.
Absolutely. I wholeheartedly agree with you there.
Well, thank you.
You're quite welcome. I want to switch gears a little bit and talk about, obviously, as I mentioned, we're both in Wisconsin, but you're in Wisconsin Dells, which is of course, the heart of water park land for one. And for another, all sorts of people listen to the show that are either in New York or California or other places. So tell us a bit about where you are from and how rich arts and culture are in your neck of the woods.
Well, I was originally born in New Orleans, lived there my first 5 years. Then I moved to the countryside outside of the Dells when I was five with my parents, of course.
Mm-hmm.
And
sure.
One thing I really appreciate about the area, which can be said of much of the United States and probably the world, is the countryside, the woods, the scenery. It just couldn't get more scenic and lush and beautiful. As far as arts and culture, I would say the Dells is probably the hub of that in the area.
Sure.
There was a really cool coffee house in Reedsburg named Kettle and Cup. I played a bunch of shows there over the course of several years. They closed down at one point. I've played many bars in the area, and I would say that cities are more, in general, cities are more culturally conscious, but the problem with cities is that everybody's clamoring to play for free or pay to play. What I find is that the lower the population of a community and the more in the middle of nowhere it is, the easier it is to get gigs that you can make money at. And I have
really?
No problem driving. Yes. Yep.
Hmm. Now, I would have thought, because, of course, I've interviewed a bunch of different musicians, and, of course, the pay-to-play thing has become a lot more of a thing out there. And, of course, there's so many competitors here in Wisconsin, meaning in Milwaukee area, because Milwaukee, Waukesha County, Ozaukee County, stuff like that. So there's tons of people out there. So that poses an interesting question, which is when you are in an area, in your case, it may not be as bad per se, but what I'm trying to find out is how you then make yourself stand out among other musicians, in which case a venue owner says, I want this person. Not that they don't necessarily want someone else, but what's the factor you getting the gig?
I was a telemarketer for 9 years. I call venues. I don't email them. I ask to talk to the owner. They tell me the owner's name. If the owner isn't there, I write it down. And I call.
Okay.
One singer, yes, one singer of a band I played in years ago, he wanted me to do booking for the band, which I then did, and he gave me the tip. Never stop calling until either you get booked or they say no.
Uh-huh.
And yes, and that was an incredibly great bit of advice, because I will admit, even, you know, I like to think that I have a good amount of awareness in this world, but ultimately, I got to admit that if he hadn't said that, I don't think I would have just automatically adopted such an approach. I think that after 10 times calling and not getting anywhere, I would have probably been stopping And so I took that bit of advice and I went with it. And so once I started my solo band and then that disbanded and eventually I became a one-man show, all these gigs for my solo project, these, yeah, much of it I think is attributable to that bit of advice I got. And, yeah, well, that was actually Rick Black of A Tortured Soul. Since I'm going on and on about that advice, I might as well say who it was. So, yeah,
absolutely.
Rick told me.
You betcha.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, and the thing is, too, I do think that, and I find this in film a lot, and I do know certain musicians as well that may not be familiar with it. I think a lot of us artisans enjoy writing or playing music or creating film, et cetera, but there really is a business side to the business, is there not?
Yes. Yes, absolutely.
And I don't know. Right. And I wonder if sometimes a lot of people just don't want to do the business. I mean, everybody wants to do the fun part, obviously, which is we all get our kicks from whatever passion we have. But I do think that sales and marketing and promotion are a huge, huge part of anybody becoming successful or getting known or being heard or being seen, which was really, you know, excellent advice as far as that goes. And moreover, of course, and we'll get into your style in a little bit and all that good stuff, but moreover, you keep yourself standing out for a couple of different reasons. Let me tell you why. And these are just observations. First of all, I find it interesting that 7 months ago, you went ahead and you got a new drum set for $100 because I had read about this because journalists creep on social media. They creep on you all over the place. And I saw, oh, he's got a new drum set for like $100 that he got not so long ago. And what I do know that, at least from what I have heard, and I want to ask you about this. So being a bass guitar player and then being a drummer, one has has a direct effect on the other, does it not?
Yes, but I'm not a drummer. I bought a drum set because I enjoy playing on it sometimes, and I've I've always thought it would be cool to learn it, but no, I haven't learned it. I don't want to take credit for being a drummer.
No, I understand, because I saw that and I was like, it's not uncommon though, is it really? Because I know you had played violin at a young age because you had mentioned that. And doing the violin. So I've noticed that oftentimes the musicians that I speak to usually are versed in at least 2 to 3 different types of instruments, et cetera. So do you ever still play the violin? Because I know that was quite a while ago.
I bought another one. I think it was 11 years ago, 10 or 11 years ago, I bought another one. And I fiddled with it, no pun intended, but it didn't... I didn't take to it. I would either have to take lessons or go on YouTube. The vibrato on the violin is probably the thing that really stumped me when I tried picking it up again. But other instruments I do play are the regular 6-string guitar, the keyboard. But the bass guitar is definitely, well, I sing too, but the bass guitar is my main instrument and the one that I can confidently say, yes, I'm a bassist.
I gotcha. Now, question relative to the violin, because I don't know specifically how long you played it as a child, but I do know that when I've spoken to people who played, they credit playing the violin as ways to get more discipline as a musician, understand music, and improve the coordination, your actual coordination when playing an instrument, along with concentration. Would you credit that time in playing that instrument with helping you to become a better guitar player?
It is. You know, I would say I'm pretty sure it was, but I can say it only as a guess because I haven't noticed necessarily a correlation between the two.
Mm-hmm.
It's just, I guess, logically, it seems like that probably is the case.
Gotcha. And I also noticed another thing, too. I like this quote where he says, I'm up all day, and sleep, or I'm up all night and I sleep all day, which, again, is another correlation I find among certain musicians and writers sometimes, et cetera. And so I have to ask you about that, because if you're up all night, how the heck do you literally sleep all day? Because I'm here to tell you, I have the sun in my it's through my window at like 6 a.m. and it's annoying and I can't go back to sleep. So I really want to know how you master the art of being up all night, because I'm like, how the heck does he do that?
Well, and the all-day sleeping thing, I mean, it's I don't always get to do that. I do it whenever I can. Well, I'll sleep a good chunk of the day because there seems to be more daylight than nighttime. At any rate, I have shades on my bedroom that are about as opaque as shades could be. Mm-hmm. They do a real good job of blocking out that light.
Oh, that's really cool. I like that. And plus, too, there are some people that say that they don't get, like, I've talked to one writer where they're like, yeah, I didn't really get the idea to pop into my head till like 4 a.m. And I do think that there's a method to madness in terms of our brains, artistic brains, work a little bit differently. And sometimes you're not moved or motivated or you don't get that spark until a certain time of day. And you never know when it's going to come, et cetera. For a writer, of course, we have a notebook where we go wherever we go so we can write things down. So for a musician, if something comes to you in the middle of the night, what's your go-to? I mean, do you really get up and pull up a guitar and do whatever? What's your thing? What do you do?
I have done that. I've also written down lyrics. Usually I try to keep it in my head. Sometimes that works and sometimes it doesn't, unfortunately. Yeah, I've gotten a lot of ideas like that. There have been times where, like, I've written a whole song. Now, my solo project is all instrumental.
Right.
So that's mostly when I'm sitting there with an instrument in my hand. But even that's not contrived. Like, I'll be sitting there just jamming for fun or even working on some exercise or something. And I will like the sound of something I play. And so I'll play it mm-hmm. again and eventually make an instrumental song out of it.
Oh, how neat is that? I have to ask you, if I cornered you right now and I said, name the one thing that inspires you more than anything else that's not your child, what would that answer be? Musically.
That inspires me to like write a song or be creative musically?
Right. Like, I've talked to some people where they'll say to me there's a constant, whether it was their spouse or like a best friend or like a experience in life. Or is there one go-to for you that you're like, you know what, this is really the inspiration for a lot of the things that I do?
I really can't pinpoint one. It seems sometimes I'll write a song of lyrics in my head. And I'll quick pull out paper and write them down as I'm creating it so I don't forget it. And I'll have the vocal melodies in my head. But and as far as instrumental music, I will, like I said, write it based on something that just happens to come out of my fingertips and build a song off that. But I really don't attribute it to anything going on in my life. I've written music during my most joyous moments as well as my most miserable moments. I would say music is the constant and everything else is variable.
Understood. I get you. And since I brought him up, of course, I know that you have a son, Donald, who I'm guessing is right about age 12, if I'm not mistaken now.
Yes. Yep.
Okay. That's what I thought. I know he has acted it. Oh, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
I was just going to say, I really appreciate your journalistic professionalism. It's, it's really cool. I'm astounded by it. So.
Thank you so much. That's so sweet.
Yeah, you do your research and everything, and it makes it really pleasant to be interviewed this way.
Oh, gosh. If you folks could see me now, you would see that I am blushing. That's so very sweet. And we're not even done with the interview yet. If you're this impressed, by the end, you're really going to be impressed. That's very kind.
Oh, okay.
And honestly, I take that so personally just because of the fact that, as you know, we live in a world in 2023 where if you mention you're a journalist or a media personality or you work in, you know, whatever media, people are very distrusting and they're not sure what to think. They're not sure what's going to come out of your mouth. And so I'm kind of old school journalism. So when I say I'm going to dig into you, I literally dig into you because that's my job. And hopefully you'll walk away from this and you'll tell your friends and everybody listening and they'll be like, she's kind of cool. But I've been doing this almost 11 years, so I need to be this good. Because me, the boss, will yell at me and be like, hey, you need to step it up. But I am incredibly flattered. That was very sweet. Thank you so much. Donald.
You're very
welcome, talking about Donald. Donald. Okay, so Donald's 12 years old, and I know he's been your stage tech before. So here's a question. I'm a parent myself, a teenager. So first of all, I want to ask, is he a hellion? Because I'm here to tell you, oh, my God, teenagers can be so difficult. I'm living this right now. And then second of all, tell me a bit about something that Donald has taught you about the music industry.
He is a hellion, yes. And the music industry, I guess, he's shown me a ton of things on TikTok that I despise. So that's what he's musical things. Like mainly
oh
it's the lyrics,
gosh.
But yeah, he's rebellious, and you know, whatever my music is, he listens to other stuff.
Oh, absolutely. I totally get that. And my kids are on big on the TikTok thing too, which annoys me because I don't like TikTok to begin with and I don't think it's a great platform. And they find this stuff and it's just like, oh my God, they just test the waters. And I also know that sometimes artists will say, because I say all the time, I get inspiration or they teach me something that I didn't know about my own field. So I'm always intrigued by how our children can teach us things instead of vice versa, you know?
Right. Yeah,
so,
absolutely.
I wanted to ask a question about... Yeah, go ahead.
Sure. Oh, I was going to say, I have another son, Victor, too, who's 9 and a half. And I also wanted to mention that when I said that music is the constant, everything else is the variable, that doesn't mean that variables are less important. My children are definitely more important to me than music. And there's probably one or two other things that are, too. So...
And I appreciate you saying that.
Well,
I can't believe I missed
thing.
That.
Yeah. Oh, that's okay. That's okay. But, yeah.
Because I didn't find Victor somewhere.
No?
No. I mean, I dug and I dug and I dug and I even went back like 6 years. And I'm like, man. And I Googled you. I did all my research. I literally checked everything I thought for sure. And somehow I missed your other child, which I feel bad. I'm sorry, Victor. I know you exist.
That's okay. I'm so sorry.
Now I know you exist. So let me ask you a question about Victor. In terms of, like, my children, for one, my ex is a drummer, so I know that he has influenced my son, and in a good way, because my son enjoys drumming, and he is good at it, and he likes it. So was there ever a point that, you know, this has done really well for me, I really would like to see you go into it. Is there ever any, do you feel like they ever feel like they need to be who you are or some expression of who you are?
I've always wanted them to get into it. I kind of pulled back on that a few years ago because I wasn't getting anywhere. And so perhaps that's something that I've failed at as a parent, getting them into being musicians because they don't want to. But or maybe it's not a failure on my part. That I don't know. But I always like to self-analyze with perfect honesty. So those are my thoughts on that.
Well, I'm here to tell you. I mean, obviously, I'm a journalism major, and I've been in English and now film, et cetera, for quite some time. And I'm here to tell you, most of my children hate English. Doesn't matter how many times I bring it up. They just hate it. So I think it's kid-to-kid case, where it's just like they either like it or they don't like it, and that's just the way it's going to be. And I don't think it's a flaw on either one of our parts. It's just that's just how the, you know, the shingle shakes, and they do what they want to do, which is okay as long as it's healthy. I mean, I'm like, I'm more power to them, definitely. Now, before we talk about your musical teaching, I have a question. One of the things that I like that you do is if you go on Ben's social media, there's two things you're going to learn about him, among many other things. But the two that stood out to me, I love the thing that where you do the fun facts thing. Like I learned that you did 6 photo shoots in the past, which I never knew that. He'll just blast out these little fun facts, which I tend to do too, which is neat because you get to learn something about you, meaning your back history, what you used to do, where you used to go. I find that rather fascinating. And you're sharing yourself with an audience, which is important. The other thing I learned, which I want you to talk about, this is hugely important. Back in 2019, you had said that you had sustained solely on musical income back in 2019 for some time. I want to talk about that because that happening in Wisconsin is pretty rare. I mean, most musicians always have a side shuffle. Actors have a side shuffle. It's really super hard to be self-sufficient being an artist, period. But let alone being in Wisconsin and being an artist like this, I think it's even harder. So tell us a bit about that because musicians do listen to this show. Tell us how you were able to be fully sustaining on a musician's income. How did that come to pass?
So to put that in context, I had previously, as I mentioned, sustained myself as a telemarketer, but I will specify for you have to have much lower expenses than you're supposed to have in society. Wouldn't be in my best interest to state the details. I have tactical reasons for not stating which expenses I avoid. I can state some of them.
Sure.
One, for 4.5 years from spring 2007 through fall 2011, I lived in a 2-bedroom, 2-story cottage on a lake that must have had about an acre of land with it for $250 a month plus utilities.
Wow.
Yeah. For the next 8.5 years, prior to purchasing the house I live in, I was a renter. It's a 2-unit place. It's like a house with an apartment on the back. I paid, and it's on the only lake in my county. It's a three-bedroom dwelling. I paid $500 a month for that. So these are, there are many reasons I don't want to get into what all of the methods are that I, like all of the areas in life in which I save money.
Sure.
But,
sure.
Basically the amount of money that I made as a part-time telemarketer. And then because I was living in Milwaukee for years and then I moved back out to the area I'm from by the Dells. And, so when I moved back out there, then I was doing I had a seasonal job in a warehouse, and then I worked for a season in a factory, and I was collecting unemployment in the meantime, and like in the off season. So, yes, I managed to make as much money to bring my music career up to where I was sustaining myself the way I always had previously. Through first part-time telemarketing, then seasonal warehouse or factory work in the off season. So it's just, I guess I wanted to just be honest and say, it's not that much money, but yes, it's just as much money as I had ever sustained myself on. And so to reach that, yes, I considered that. I do consider it to be a marvelous achievement that I'm proud of. It took a hell of a lot of work, a lot of years. One thing that I resent is all of the lies that band members told me through the years, like supposedly they want to do this for a living. Well, when someone starts a bakery or any other type of business, sometimes they lose money their first couple years because they have to put more into it than what they pull out. But nobody in bands is willing to do that. Obviously, we read stories about Metallica and Guns N' Roses and everything.
Sure.
Where they were willing to, but out in the real world, 99% of the people who say they want to do this, that this is their career, their self-identity, mm-hmm. their lifestyle, it's all lies. So as the lone truth teller, time after time in bands, it was just a blessing that I conceived the idea of a one-man show. And I shouldn't say mm-hmm. the lone truth teller, or at least I should clarify, I've played with some wonderful people. They comprised probably 25% of the folks I played with. I have great memories of the guys. I played in a trio called Second Impression back in 2000. And, those guys, they were respectful and respectable people. And other bands, there'll be one person or sometimes two people who do their job, and then the other two guys don't do their job. But what I've found is that because the majority don't like to, show up to practice or learn their parts right, what I found to my dismay is that the other musicians who are like me, who learn how to play the parts and do what they're supposed to do, they take the side of the degenerates who don't perform their function in the band. And because they know that if you don't tolerate it, you're not going to have a band. Well, let me tell you something. I'm a lot happier not having a band. And I still get, not very frequently now, but I still get mm-hmm. offers of playing in bands, and it's like I can't even get them to agree to pay me $100 a gig, and meanwhile mm-hmm. I'm averaging way more than that as a solo artist, yet at the same time I can't get them to play for me either, even though I do offer them $100 a gig to play for me.
Mm-hmm.
But there's a difference if you play a half hour set of 4/4 music. That's a lot different than learning, say, a two-hour set where not everything's in 4/4, or if you're going to play in both of my projects, the two projects put together, that's probably 4.5 hours of music.
Ah,
so,
okay.
Yeah.
Thank you for sharing that. I appreciate that. And I do think it's important sometimes to talk about that, because of the fact that, like I said, we're all kind of in the same proverbial boat when it comes to, we all want to be working and doing one career where we love it. We get paid to do it. We don't have to rely upon doing another job, and that's all we do. And I know in society that can be immensely difficult to be self-sustaining when it comes to that. So I'm always impressed when I come across a creative that says, hey, I was able to do this and this and this. It's living the dream, you know? I mean, and for all of us, our dreams are different, but that's, that's majorly awesome. I have another music question. I noticed when I was going through your discography that it seems as if exactly every 2 years, so you've got 2007 to 2009, and then 11, then 14, then 18, and then of course you have another Cosmic Mind, which is coming out 2 years or so. You say to yourself, I'm going to go ahead and I'm going to release another disc every 2 years, and so. I want to talk a little bit about process and method, meaning do you do that solely because on the musical side of things, that's how long it takes? Do you do it because from a marketing perspective, it works better that way? Is there a mindset behind that?
It's a combination of several different factors. I will say the frequency of my solo albums has gone down, though I'm really hoping to put out the next one 2 years from now. I don't want to have a 5-year gap again, but
sure.
They were coming out more frequently before, like in the first three CDs. I think that's because of two reasons. One, I had fewer projects going on simultaneously with my solo albums, and mm-hmm. two, I was new to putting out albums, and I was I didn't know what my prospects were for album sales. So I think that album sales not being too high, being kind of bleak, that might make an extra year or two be put in there between releases. I'm not sure if it does or not. It's kind of, because it's definitely conscious in my mind, like, okay, how many have I sold? I look at my records for each album and, you know, what percentage of money have I made back? So that's,
if I can ask him. Oh, sorry. Go ahead.
Well, that was about it. What were you going to say,
Cindy? That was
going
to be my, I have a piggyback question to that one, actually. And so when we look at your releases like that every 2 years and things along those lines, are you finding that your audience or the people that favor your music, purchase it, and support those discs, do you find them being okay with that? Meaning, like, let's say a musician today is listening and thinking, okay, so I want to start planning out, I'm recording music now, how I release it, when I release it, that sort of good stuff. Would you find that audience response, meaning that they favor getting something every year, every 6 months, every 2-3 years, maybe even longer? In your experience, what would you recommend to a fellow artisan in terms of recording and releasing?
One thing I've failed to do in my career is build a following. So my CD sales, which are, I would say, respectable, there are some local bands that outdo me like by a huge margin, and there are some probably there are some national bands that do worse than me. So obviously normally national ones sell more than local ones. I just thought I'd mention that dichotomy to illustrate that you really can't, it's hard for me to gauge if my sales would be considered good or not, but sidetracked.
That's okay. I just wanted to make the point of it because I'm like, oftentimes when someone will listen to my interview, I try to use it as a teaching tool. And since I have a seasoned artist here, I want to take advantage of it, of course, and be able to think. Because, again, I go back to the business side of things. There is a business mentality when it comes to releasing a particular product, when you start promoting it, when you start going out and doing it, how you do a launch party. You know what I'm saying? Things like that.
Yeah, so now I remembered what I was going to say. My CD sales come, a large portion of them is on the road at concerts. Like, there was one guy that came into a show I did around a year ago out in Wyoming, in Sheridan, Wyoming, and he had looked me up because he saw the advertisement in the newspaper that I was coming there on tour, and he liked my stuff so much he came in and bought my entire solo discography before I even hit the stage.
Oh, my God.
Things like that happened. Yeah, and but I don't think that that individual is some. I know he didn't sign up for my newsletter. I'm guessing he didn't follow me on social media. If he did, like, Facebook limits the reach of business pages pretty severely. So who knows if he'll ever, if he did click like on my page, who knows if he'll ever get anything in his feed from it. So I can't really gauge too well selling to fans at shows. I can't really gauge too well, like, to answer that question, how, like, you asked me if they care if there's a 5-year wait or a 2-year wait between albums.
Sure.
You know, I've built up a number of friends and acquaintances here in Wisconsin who buy each release of mine. But they're doing it based on the fact that they know me and like me as a person. And they like me as a musician, too. But if they didn't know me personally, they wouldn't be buying the stuff. So if you're looking at your friends who buy your things, I don't think that's a good pool to gauge as far as audience considerations. But then on the road, like I said, I don't think they're into me for that night. They buy the CDs, but I don't see that. It's pretty rare that I see them next time I come back around. And I always have a newsletter sign-up sheet, hoping that people will sign up. They'll get my newsletter. They'll know when I'm coming back. And occasionally it happens, but not very often. Like normally it's all new faces when I'm out on tour.
I get it.
But I love doing what I do because there's some percentage of venues where the audience really is into me and appreciates me, and all the venues I play, they pay me what I consider a respectable amount. So,
okay.
Yeah.
Gotcha. All right, let's switch over and talk about you and teaching, because I think teaching is clearly, I think most of us who have very strong, solid skills have a responsibility to some degree to give back, and I think teaching is an incredible way to do that. So my question to you relative to musical teaching is just this. Every teacher teaches a certain way. I teach a certain way. We all have our means and methods of doing things. But for you as a teacher, tell me a bit about what you'd like to pass on to your students. And then second of all, tell me something that you think that all musical students should be learning early on.
I try to teach them skills that I have. And early on, I think that it's important for them to improvise with recorded music, or if they're fortunate enough to play in a family of musicians, they can improvise the music that's played in the room live by other musicians.
Sure.
But improvisation to accompaniment arrangements is very important for them to learn early on. And as far as teaching them, I can just teach them what I know to the best of my ability.
Now, are you finding, I notice this with my own children, which is why I'm asking you, the younger generation is influenced by different musicians because obviously we grew up in a different generation. But more importantly, I find that music in a lot of ways seems to speak to kids even more so than other outlets. I mean, not that writing and other things or television isn't influential, but I really do feel like music speaks to them in such a way that it's very powerful. So I want to talk to you a bit about, as a parent and also with working with kids, do you find that they are fueled by or they're getting inspirations in a good way, not only just in a professional way, but personally through music? Because I just feel like it's very, very, things have changed so very much when it comes to our kids and music, and they really are heavily influenced by what's playing out there. Sometimes, and a lot of times it's good, sometimes the message is not so good. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. I can't gauge which form of media is most influential to them as I ponder it here.
Mm-hmm.
Movies, video games, and music, YouTube videos, TikTok videos, all that crap the system bombards them with. Some of it is absolutely repugnant and programmed by our enemies to children. And so I'm doing what I can to fight against such things. And, it's hard to tell which, influences them more. I've gotten them into a good school that, there's no way on planet Earth I would find any school that really has, like, where the faculty and administration shares all of my beliefs, but I've gotten them into a school that, that is far more sane then I don't know how much of a firm statement I should make considering I haven't gone to other schools. It's just that I know what society we live in. And I don't...
I get it.
I highly doubt that there's more... That if we're lucky, there's a handful of schools like this in Wisconsin that...
oh, boy.
...that have as healthy values as this school has. So, fortunately, there are... Yeah, there are positive influences in my kids' lives, like me, like their school, that combat, well, and the music I play, like the music that I play for them, I think it carries a healthy spirit, probably not entirely, but compared to the stuff that's shoved down our throats nowadays, I do think that the music, and I carry my case of CDs with me in my car, so my kids, even though they say they don't like it, because, you know, it's not cool to like dad's stuff, still, they have the ones that they pick out to listen to, and so we listen to it, and I think that me, the music I listen to, the school they go to, the private school, it's all working together to counterbalance and overpower the negative influences they get through the media.
Sure. I get you. I do. Now, in terms of, besides musical teaching, of course, on the musician side of things, you have singer, songwriter, and then, of course, playing bass. So my question to you is, how much time do you devote to singing and songwriting versus actual performance playing?
You mean how much time practicing and rehearsing compared to the amount of time I spend on stage?
That could be correct.
Or do you mean like bass,
case,
guitar?
I'm trying to get like a general sense or give the audience a general sense of, okay, so if Ben's sitting at home, he devotes this much time of his life, let's say in a typical week, to singing and songwriting. And then, of course, I'm just trying to figure out, are you more the bass player or are you more the singer-songwriter at this point in your life?
That's a good question. Commission, the bass guitar is where I feel most at home. As an artist, the singing-songwriting might be an equal thing, but as a technician, I don't feel that, like as a vocalist, I don't see myself as a technical performer. The voice and the usually acoustic guitar are the means by which I perform an artistic expression that is a song, whereas the bass guitar, it seems like it's valid in and of its own right, whether I'm actually writing a song with it or just noodling around on it. I've always naturally taken to the bass, but I do love writing songs with lyrics. And it's hard for me to say which I've been devoting more time to lately. Perhaps it's 50-50. I know historically, normally the bass guitar was what I was doing, whether in a band or my solo music. But all the way back into my teens, I have been doing some singing and songwriting with the guitar, whether electric or acoustic. I just didn't go public with it till, I was 37, I think.
If I were to ask you, is there a particular creation, a musical creation that you have created, meaning actually sat and wrote yourself, can you tell me one that you remember that has had the most impact on both you and your audiences as well? What would that be?
Well, my last solo album, Stream of Consciousness, I know when I was putting that together, I considered it to be my magnum opus. This album that comes out in 2 days here, Cosmic Mind, I think the music is equally as high quality. It's a shorter album. So, like, if you look at Pink Floyd, The Wall, it's a 2-disc set, and then their follow-up album, The Final Cut, is 1 disc. I consider the Final Cut to be equally as brilliant and great as The Wall, but since The Wall is twice as long, it usually, like, if I have to pick between the two, well, The Wall has more material on it. So, you know, with that dynamic being considered, will Cosmic Mind fare equally to Stream of Consciousness in the long run? I don't know, but certainly I think that the quality is equal. It's just a shorter CD. I've been playing songs, some of the songs that are on the CD, I've been performing as a one-man show. And I do not use backing tracks, but I do use a loop pedal, by the way. But I've been performing some of these songs for years, and it's a great feeling to finally get them down in recorded form, release them to the world. And yes, this album is not available for streaming at all. It's just, I grew up in the era where bands are selling millions of copies of records, not like now where they'll sell 5,000, like a super famous band will sell 5,000 the first week and then that's about it. I don't think that there's a big correlation between streams and album sales. So I figured I'd pull back on this one and maybe a few people buy it because that's the only way to get to hear it. We'll see.
Ah, that's right. That's absolutely right. However, those that are listening today are about to hear something because you were kind enough to send me over the track Cosmic Mind. So I'm going to play that shortly. But since I have the musician here himself, perhaps you can do an intro before I start the track. Tell people what Cosmic Mind is about.
Yes. Well, my solo albums are all purely instrumental, and the bass is the lead instrument through most of each album. This album, the bass and the keyboard take turns being in the forefront. So this title track, Cosmic Mind, I named it after writing the song, which is how I normally name my songs. Certainly at least my instrumental songs are normally named after they're written, because I listen to the song and try to figure out what a fitting name would be. So this song just, it has the ambience and the ethereal quality that makes me imagine the mind of the cosmos, ever present, ever knowing. And so the song gives me the feeling of being absolutely connected with that mind.
Nice. Very well put. Very, very good introduction, by the way. So I'm going to stay quiet for the next 4 minutes and 42 seconds, folks. This is the track, Cosmic Mind.
Thank you.
See, folks, that right there in and of itself should be enough for you to run right out and go get it. In fact, as Ben had mentioned, the album actually releases on April 28th, and I know that you're currently taking pre-orders for this for the price of $15. And so how do folks go ahead and pre-order this?
You can send me $15 via PayPal to benkuzay@hotmail.com, benkuzay@hotmail.com, and I will ship it right on out to you. Otherwise, send me a private message on Facebook, or like if you want to send a check, send it to Facebook or benkuzay@hotmail.com, and I will give you an address to mail it to if you want to.
I don't
want
to forget
check.
To mention.
Yep.
Oh, right. And the other big thing, which is this, I know the mini tour is coming up in May. You have two different tours, one of which is in Wisconsin, and then, of course, the other of which is a 5-state tour. So tell everybody a bit about what they can expect to see in Wisconsin versus the multi-state tour.
Well, I have my Cognition project, which in which I sing and play acoustic guitar, and it's that project that I do these one-off shows with these years in Wisconsin, mm-hmm. and just outside Wisconsin too, over the borders. But yeah,
sure.
Late May, I've got three of those coming up, Memorial Day weekend, three shows. And then before that, I'm doing a 6-concert Ben Kuzay mini tour. My namesake is the instrumental solo bass thing, and solo bass, lead bass. And yeah, that's 6 shows in a total of 5 states. Yep. That'll be May 6th
exactly right.
through 19th.
Awesome. Now, I don't want to forget to mention this because I'm going to read off a bunch of different places where people can find you. And so when I get finished, please let me know if I forgot anything. Ben
sure.
has a website, and as he mentioned, his name is Ben Kuzay, and it's benkuzay.com. That's the actual physical website. He can also be found on Facebook, YouTube, LinkedIn, Twitter, Apple, Amazon, SoundCloud, and also on eBay. Is there any other place that I missed?
I don't think so. But yeah, there's a nice eBay music store. That reminds me, I've got to get this new album up there. Yep, so if you don't trust me, you can order it through eBay, and then you can see I'm a good seller on there. The Ben Kuzay Music
That's
Store,
terrific.
Yep, all my...
And look at
yep.
that. That's right. And it took, we were on the air 1 hour and 10 minutes, and I think that's probably the one and only smile that I got out of Ben the whole interview. So I'm happy to report that, yes, he's not just a serious musician, he's a smiling musician. On rare occasion. So I was wondering, can I crack him? Can I crack him? Can I crack him? I got him at the very tail end. So that's a good thing. So this is what I want to say to you. I can't believe it. It's been a 70-minute show. This happens a lot. We just talk and we talk and we talk. So on my show, the last thing that I normally do in an interview is I just get an opportunity to tell the guests what I think of them. And I do this because it's not scripted. I'm a writer. So I usually write my own script and do all my research. So this is what I want to say to you, Ben Kuzay. First of all, I have a huge admiration for Wisconsin musicians. Some of them are like family to me. I adore my musician family and friends, and I think they're wonderful. I want to remind you of this. What you do to our community is of great service, not only to the youth that you are teaching, but also to us as an adult. Your words, the things that you put together in print as well as on a stage, are immeasurable in terms of worth. You make us feel, you make us dance, you make us smile, you make us relax. You give us things that I think most people take for granted. Musicians are gifted people for a reason. They have things that they want to pass on to us. And you have a major talent, and you've been in this industry for a very long time, and you're still chugging at it. You're influencing your children and a whole new generation of people to create and to bring about something wonderful into the world. So, my friend, I thank you so much for all of your contributions.
Thank you so much. That means a lot to me, Cindy.
Absolutely. I mean, you need to remember that.
Yeah, I will. And thank you for having me. It's been a pleasure talking
Absolutely.
With you.
Thank you so much. Give it about, I would say, and to the listening audience as well, within an hour or two, this will be an archived episode. And I will send you a copy of this. And this will, of course, go on all my various different social medias, YouTube and otherwise. And then this way, then people can go back and listen any point in time and day, because it's hard for people to get on and listen to the radio at 3 p.m. But I just appreciate you coming on. And don't be a stranger. If you have something else you want to promote, or if you want to come back on the show, just come back and see me.
Okay. Will do. Thanks.
That sounds good. All right, Ben. Thank you so much. You have yourself a wonderful afternoon.
Thanks. You too, Cindy.
All right, dear. Bye-bye. Okay, folks, that was Ben Kuze. Tell me that wasn't a great interview. I love, love, love my musicians. Such wonderful people. Again, just to remind you, his album release is 4/28/23. The album is Mind, and you can pre-order it, as he mentioned, by going to PayPal and sending him $15, or heading over to eBay. Hopefully tonight he'll get that on there. Otherwise, please go and support him. His May appearances in Milwaukee, or I should say Wisconsin, with his One Creation Cognition. And then, of course, if you're going to check out his mini tour off of his website, you will see he's going to be in Indiana. He's going to be in South Dakota, Montana, Colorado, and New England, if memory serves me correctly. And again, if you want to find him, he is on Facebook, YouTube, SoundCloud, LinkedIn, Apple, Amazon, Twitter, and eBay. And his name, again, is Ben Kuze, the website benkuze.com. That's a wrap in terms of our interview today. Surprise, but guess what? I'm going to be back on tomorrow with another interview. RJ Mitty, if you folks have ever heard If you've ever heard of the show Breaking Bad, you might know who RJ Mitty is. He is coming on tomorrow not only to talk about his accolades as it relates to the show itself, but he is putting on a brand new art festival going on this coming weekend. So I'm super excited to talk to him. That's going to be 1:00 Central Standard Time. And why? Because the Bucks game is in 3 hours. So let's all say it. Go Bucks, go. Because I have all the faith in the world that that team is going to pull it together tonight. If not, I'm sure I'll be drinking like the rest of us at 10 o'clock. Anyhow, thanks so much, you guys, for listening in. And we will see you tomorrow. Take care.